in this morning, so that's all we need, correct? And I don't know really if I was a volunteer or kind of voluntold by Miss Judy, but regardless, I'm here and I'm bringing the word that God has really just laid on my heart lately, and that is the true purpose of Pentecost. I have never preached from an electronic device before. However, I'm electronically challenged and my printer wouldn't work last night. So bear with me if my electronics have glitches. So I want to talk to you today about the true purpose of Pentecost. As Christian believers, hold on, I need to back up a second. I should probably open in prayer. I'm a little nervous. I've actually never preached in front of a crowd this big. Our church in Evanston was really small. So I'm a little nervous. So I'm going to pray, and God's going to take away those nerves because that's what he does. So, oh, Father God, I just come before you right now, Lord God. And I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you join each one of us here. Not just me as the speaker, Lord God, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that you open the ears of each hearer, including myself, as you use this vessel to bring the word that you have for us today. Lord God, I pray that each person who has come through these doors not leave as they came in, but changed forever by your glory and more in your image. Lord, I pray that you just have your will here today through me and to each listener today, including myself. Holy Spirit, just have freedom in this place today. Thank you, Lord, and I pray this through your glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now on to the purpose of Pentecost. As Christians, we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified for us. He died as a pure and spotless sacrifice for all of our sins. And he was buried. He rose again on the third day. He was seen by the disciples and many others as he walked the earth as a risen king. Correct? Amen. So this is what we believe. We believe that we serve a living God, amen, not a dead God. Yes, he died, but he was resurrected. So this is what we believe. But is it truly how we live? Are we living to serve a living God who is going to return for his church? Or again, are we serving a God who died 2,000 years ago? Yes, he died, but he's resurrected, and he's resurrected to live in us through the Holy Spirit. So he's alive. He's active in every single one of us in this room today. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about Peter. Everybody knows who Peter is, right? He was the first person on the face of the planet, a person to say that Jesus was the Messiah. He gave that with his mouth, that proclamation with his mouth. He said, "You are the Messiah. You are the Lord." And just a few days after he made that proclamation, he denied Christ. He witnessed all of the things that Christ did, yet he denied him. Just a few days after he made what an amazing proclamation. He denied him not once, not twice, but three times. In one night, he denied Christ. And yet God used him in an amazing way. Because of the brokenness of Peter and what God does in us as he lives in us, 3,000 people in one night, one day, surrendered their hearts and their lives to Jesus because of a broken man who had denied him three times. I think that that is amazing. Now, let me find my place. I don't think I like preaching from electronics. Okay, now Peter, he was one of the disciples, and the disciples were set apart from others around them. They were set apart for many different reasons. They had spent 3.5 years with Jesus every day. They had witnessed all of his miracles. And they experienced God's love through Jesus in a way that nobody else ever had. Jesus actually loved them. He showed them through tears of compassion. He showed them through the washing of the feet. He was absolutely present with them, and he poured his love out to them in a way that even today we have a hard time recognizing. They saw amazing miracles. They saw blind eyes become open and deaf ears begin to hear. They saw lame men walk. They saw demons cast out of people. They saw captives be set free. And as Ron said, those who Jesus set free, they are free indeed. They saw those things. They witnessed those things every day that they walked with Jesus. And they loved their Savior as he loved them. And after his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, they wanted his return more than they wanted their own lives. And they lived their lives every single day as though he were returning tomorrow. I'm going to spit out a lot of scripture, so if you need to get with me later to get them all, I've got them here. I just don't have them all like printed out or anything. So I'm going to be reading right now from Matthew 24:14. This is Jesus' words. And this is why the disciples actually lived as though he were returning. It says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then I will return." The end was the chemisms of it, okay? So he says, you have to go out and you have to preach to all nations, and then I will return. So that's what they did. They took him at his word, and they went out, and they preached to all nations because they wanted him to come back. They were desperate for his presence in their lives. So every day they lived this way. They lived as though he was going to return today, tomorrow. And they told every single person that they came in contact with about the love of Jesus, about the things that Jesus did, the miracles. They told them about the death and resurrection of their king. They told them everything. And they told him, and he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. They lived it, they breathed it every single day as that day could be their last. They performed the same miracles as Jesus did. Did you guys know that? They performed the same miracles that Jesus did. Why? Why did they do that? In John 14:12, Jesus again speaking, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have done, the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these." That sounds to me like it might be a promise. In my Bible, I like to write a little P by everything that is a promise from God. That's a promise. He says that we will do greater things than even he did. So there were new salvations daily because of how the disciples lived, knowing that the Savior was alive and would be returning for them. They were eyewitnesses to all the miracles that he had performed, and they were the they were living out the promises of Jesus. Now I'm going to read Acts 1:8. I know everybody in this room has heard Acts 1:8 a million times. It reads, "But you will receive," this is Jesus talking again, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I'm pretty sure Torrington falls under the ends of the earth somewhere. So in the verse, power is my favorite word. I love the Greek language. One of these days I'm going to learn the Greek language just because I love it. And I have to be careful with Miss Macaria because sometimes the Greek language has an opposite meaning of what her language means. So I have to be careful. But the word power is dunamis. Dunamis power. That is my favorite word. I love that word. dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. Amen. And what is dynamite? It's explosive. So he says, you will receive power. You will receive dunamis, power, dynamite. You will receive that. And you will be my witnesses. Now, witnesses, as we think about witnesses, is a witness who might sit in a courtroom and give their testimony because they witnessed something. But this witness actually is martus. Martus, it does mean to sit and be a witness. But it also, in the ethical sense, this is the sense of this meaning, the meaning in this sentence, means that they were after his example, his, Jesus' example, proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. That's what that word means. It means that they lived their lives in such faith that they would live a violent death because of the power of Christ in them and because of what they believed, because of their faith. So am I making sense to everybody here? Okay. Okay, so we are to receive the power from the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power, and we are to go out and be witnesses. So this is how they live their life every day, doing the same things that Jesus had done. And because of that, every day there were people being added to their numbers. There were people giving their lives to Jesus because of that belief, because of that dunamis power in them, every single day. So they took very seriously the final words of Jesus, as in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, starting at verse 19 and reading through 20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything, not just pick and choose, but everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Again, if he's alive, he's with us. Amen. Right? Okay. So you see, he told them this after he was risen, because he was alive. This was his final words after his resurrection to the disciples. And they followed those commands of a living God, just as we today are following them, right? Yeah. I can honestly tell you that that's not how I live every day. I was convicted when I wrote this, because this isn't how I live every day. I do not live every day as it could be my last, as it could be your last. I don't live every day as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. This is my spiritual spanking. So, you know, as it convicted me, there might not be anybody else in this room that it convicts, but I know that God is speaking to me through this. He's been speaking to me for a while. He's been telling me that we're doing it wrong. Doing what wrong? We're having church wrong. We are having church. We're playing games. We often get too busy going to church, going to prayer, going to this meeting, going to that meeting, preparing for this conference, preparing for that camp, preparing for this, doing for that. We're too busy looking for ways to reach people that we miss those who are walking by, dead in their sins, going to hell because they don't have a Savior. But I have to get ready for this conference. I have to get ready for this. No! There are people right outside this door that are perishing every single day. They need our testimony to show them the truth of Christ. The disciples, like Jesus, they healed the sick. They didn't, but through that dunamis power, the crippled people walked. They cleansed lepers. They gave sight to the blind. The deaf heard. They did cast out demons. They set the captives free, just as Jesus did, through that dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. That was the church. It wasn't a building that they came to, although that is important. Don't get me wrong. It is very important. There was corporate worship then as there is today. And there was prayer. They met for prayer. That's the day the Holy Spirit fell, the day of Pentecost. They were gathered together and they were praying. They gave words of encouragement. They gave words of exhortation. There was the preaching of the word, probably not as short as we hear it today. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach all day. My old pastor in Evanston, he was funny. He came from Virginia where there's a restaurant called Shoney's. And he said he had to preach quick so that all of us could beat the Baptists to the Shoney's. But seriously, that Paul once preached all night long. He preached so long that I'm gonna slaughter this name. I think it's Eutychus, something like that. He was sitting in the window listening to Paul preach, and they were three stories high. And Paul had been preaching so long, this poor soul fell asleep and fell out the window. So guess what? Paul got to get his Holy Spirit on, use some dunamis power, and he brought that young man back to life because that fall killed him. So I won't preach to you that long, I promise. I promise. But that was the power of the Holy Spirit. So they did preach the word. They did all the things that we do today. But somewhere, sometime, we became complacent and we became spiritually lazy. It's all about me, 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 and what I want, and I want this, and I want it now, and I'm going to work so I can get it. That's not how God intended it to be. So we give God maybe, what, 2 hours on a Sunday? Maybe a couple hours here and there throughout the week for Bible study or prayer or for this or for that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to think I'm absolutely crazy, but now I want to talk about the National Guard. I know, way out there in left field. The National Guard, everybody familiar with what the National Guard does? Okay, they train up what we probably wrongly always called as the weekend warriors, probably a kind of a derogatory remark toward them. But we always called them that. They serve about 39 days a year. That's not many. 39 days a year. That's 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year that they actually serve their country. And these men and women, they're trained, and then they go into different places and they do different things. But if somebody in the National Guard walked through the door today and came and sat down and they were not doing their weekend maneuvers and they were not in uniform, you wouldn't even know who they were. You would not know that they were here to serve their country or whatever. You wouldn't know. They would blend in, correct? Well, they work normal lives. They do everyday jobs just like we do when they're not on their maneuvers. So my question here today is this. If we are soldiers of the cross in the Lord's army, and we are, that's what we're called to do, are we the weekend warriors? Are we putting in our 2 hours a week, maybe a conference or going to a camp every year? Or are we living as the disciples did? Are we setting our world on its ear as they did? Or are we incognito and blending in just a little bit too much? Do your coworkers see you blending in? Or do they see you as witnesses, martus, willing to die for your faith, standing up for the Savior who died for you? Let's look at what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy was the pastor at the church in Ephesus. I'm going to be reading now from 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. This scared me. This scared me so bad. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. When are the last days? They're now. The last days began on the day of Pentecost, and they'll end when Jesus returns for us. So it says, but mark this, there are terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness but denying its dunamis power. Same word here is in Acts 1:8. And then he goes on to say, have nothing to do with such people. Those are strong words. Have nothing to do with such people. It is the Holy Spirit power in and through us that makes living the way that Paul talked about and the way Jesus commanded us to possible. Because our flesh is weak. Our flesh is so weak. We have to crucify that flesh. We have to make that flesh obedient unto Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit as taught in Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, first of all, it's important to note, yes, they did gather together. Yes, they did pray. So I just wanted to back up and show you that they did those things because they are important. But as Pentecostals, we often stop right there. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We're done. See ya. We're out. Right? Right? We're going to go home. We're going to live our lives. We're going to meet you in heaven. Hallelujah. Forget everybody else. No, 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 no. That is not what the Holy Spirit was given to us for. Not at all. We seek that baptism. We want to speak in that unknown language. And then we think, well, I've arrived. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We continue to live our lives without the reliance on the Holy Spirit, as the first disciples did. They relied on the Holy Spirit because without that dunamis power, they had nothing. They had nothing. They were like every other dead religion that we have in the world today. Absolute dead religion. But we have the living God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have dunamis power. It's right here. It's available to us. It's living in us. Yes. Now, why did they rely on that? They had a huge job to do, and they believed with every fiber of their being that Jesus was coming back. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Do we live like he's coming back, though? I mean, I don't. I'm ashamed to tell you I don't. There are people that I love that are going to hell because I don't. There are people that I don't know that are going to hell because I don't. I woke up this morning, totally off note, sorry, rabbit trail number one. I woke up this morning thinking about a man in my town who, and they're not friendly to me, by the way, whose wife is having a baby. I woke up this morning and God told me, take them the rest of your macaroni salad. I'm like, what? That's so weird. But you know what? I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take them my macaroni salad. And I hope that God opens a door for me to speak to him about the dunamis power of Jesus Christ. So pray for me. Pray I don't lose my nerve. No, it's God, not me. So we come here every week, like I said, sometimes more than once. That's great. But it's time for us to desire more than merely learning about Jesus. It's time to desire to meet with him face to face and be transformed by him. Lord, may we actually be the people who are known not as those who are educated about you, but those who have actually met with you and are transformed by you. Now, Ron had told you that I'm going to school to be a pastor, and I'm getting my education. And this kind of struck me hard because I need to not seek the education. I need to seek the face of my Savior.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Because the disciples were not educated other than spending time with Jesus, which they did for 3.5 years every day. And on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 people that were saved, they were saved not because Peter was educated, because he wasn't. They were saved because the Holy Spirit gave words to Peter. And Peter stood up as being redeemed and restored after denying Christ. He stood up and he proclaimed the gospel. And you know, he was silly. He said strange things to Jesus all the time. Jesus actually called him Satan at one point. He's like, "Get behind me, Satan." And here's Peter, who gives a sermon. One day, 3,000 people are saved. Now, the Pharisees of this time, we all know who the Pharisees were, right? They were the religious leaders, the religious people. They were educated. They were so educated. They knew everything to know about the Jewish religion. They knew everything to know about their society and their customs. And yet Jesus rebuked them as well.
Yes.
He doesn't want our education. He wants our hearts.
Amen.
He wants us to be willing to go and do as he told us to go and to do. Now, the Holy Spirit is just for me. You guys can't have him. That's hogwash. And anybody who ever told you, well, you've got to get right, you have to do this, you have to go take a bath before you get in that shower, stupid. We do not. There is nothing that keeps us from the Holy Spirit except for us. So, I'm going to read to you now Acts 2, starting in verse 17. It says, in the last days... We're in the last days. God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on my name will be saved, who calls on the name of the Lord. Peter was explaining. This was the sermon that he actually gave that day. This is what he spoke to those people. And he was explaining to those who heard. Let me back up. They heard them speaking in tongues. They heard them speaking in other languages. And they thought, what in the world is going on? So Peter stood up to explain this to them. He's explaining it at this time. Like I said, he had been restored by Jesus after he denied Jesus. Jesus restored him. And when Jesus restores something, have you ever seen an old car be restored? Sometimes you have to go buy new parts and they don't actually look just quite right because that wasn't the original plan for that. Well, guess what? When Jesus restores, we look better.
Amen.
He is the king, but he's also the king of restoration. He makes us... I was a wretch. I mean, my mother's here. She can testify. She could tell you I was not a good kid. I did some terrible, horrible things. But he came in and he restored me in such a way that my son-in-law doesn't ever know that I didn't know the Lord one day. He thinks that I was always a Christian because he restored me to such a way that he made me, for lack of a better word, beautiful. I don't know what else to call it. So there we go. So anyway, back to Peter. He's explaining this. He's explaining what happened. What Jesus does for you and for me when we surrender our hearts is exactly what he did that day. He changes our lives. He changes our wills. Boy, was I a selfish person. It was all about me. We had a joke in my old church, and it wasn't really all that funny. Have any of you ever seen, oh my goodness, I just lost her name. Big TV evangelist lady. She does a robot routine. And she says, what about me? What about me? What about me? Joyce Meyer. They always said that was me. Because they got to know me when I first came to know Christ. And they teased me about that a lot. They bought me a pen that said, what about me? I'm like, thanks, guys. But you know what? God changed that. It's not always about me. It never was. So he changes us. He changed Peter. And Peter explained to the people what had happened in that upper room when God poured out his Holy Spirit. What had happened is they had been up there and they had been praying. And they were seeking. They wanted Jesus' return. They were seeking the face of God. There was 120 people in that room, and they were completely surrendered and searching. That's what we need to be. We need to be surrendered, and we need to be searching. They believed with their whole heart that Jesus could return any moment. They believed that spreading the gospel was the most important thing, because it was, and it still is. Jesus is coming back, and it could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. We don't know. But we need to live our lives as though our lives depend on... We need to live our lives as though life depends on it. Because life does depend on it. The life of our neighbors. The life of our co-workers. Your children's teachers. What about your best friend? Your children? I know my children don't know the Lord right now. Boy, do they not know the Lord. I need to live my life as though their lives depend on it. Because it does. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Okay, we're going to take a look now at Mark 16. I'm starting in verse 15. He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick, and they will get well. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he now sits at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. You see, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it was not so that we could merely speak in new tongues. But it was so that we can receive dunamis power. Power from the Holy Spirit who lives in us, empowering us to live just as Jesus lived. So by that power, through the healing of the sick, the blind receiving their sight, the freedom from addiction, the raising of the dead, his word was confirmed. Lord, I want your word to be confirmed through my actions, through the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit working through me. How many opportunities have I been given to pray for somebody? And I thought, no, I'm too scared. Yet we had a young man this morning come in and say, my mom is sick. Please pray for her. He knows the power of God. Amen. Why don't we? Why don't we live as though we serve a dunamis God?
Yes, amen.
My poor son, he's heard so many sermons with me saying dunamis. He probably dreams about it all the time. Okay, so the last scripture, I told you I wouldn't keep you too long. The last scripture that I want to look at today is again in Acts 2, and it's the conclusion of Peter's sermon. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 38. It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day. So between the prophet Joel, talking about the sons and the daughters, and Peter here, I think that covered about every single person possible. There was not one left out, except for those who refused to follow Jesus. So let's do what Peter said and save ourselves from this corrupt generation. Because when Peter says, the promise is for you and your children and all those who are far off. Well, guess what? This was spoken over 2,000 years ago, so we are the ones who are afar off. And the Holy Spirit is for us today. And I don't know about you guys, but we need that power. This world is a corrupt generation. I don't think as Peter stood up and spoke these courageous words, he could even have imagined the amounts of sin that we invent every day. So, we need to get our lives right. We need to live as though God is alive. We need to live as though Jesus is coming back any moment. I always panic when I have to close the sermon. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. But you know, I feel like God gave me this message. If not for you, definitely for me. Because he wants our lives changed. He wants my life changed. He doesn't want me stuck in a book learning about him when I can be out in my community proclaiming the word of God to the lost and the dying who are going to hell. Hell does not sound like a fun place to me. I don't want to be there, and I don't want anybody that I know, love, pass in the street, may hear about. I don't want anybody there. So today, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day. If you have not received the Holy Spirit baptism, today is the day. If you want more Jesus in your life, today is the day. I'm begging you today, don't leave here the way that you came in without power. Don't leave here without that dunamis power living in your life to go out and change the world. Because I guarantee you, there are coworkers that you don't even know who are contemplating suicide. Because their life is hopeless, and we have hope. We have the hope that they need. We have what they need because we serve a living God who is coming back for his church. I beg of you not to leave here today the same that you came in. There's a little boy here who's crying out for his mama because she's sick. I heard that she has MS, correct? We have the treatment. We have the answer. We serve a God. He is the great physician. We don't serve pharma, the great pharmacies. We serve Jesus Christ. And we are here to do the will. We are here to be the hands. We are here to be the feet. We are here to spread the word. So again, I say, it's so hard for me to close. I always have such a struggle with closing. But I know that God wants your heart. I know that God wants you changed. He wants you transformed into the image of his son who died for all of us. He wants us to not only have dunamis power in us, but spread it out there. I have a daughter who started seeing a shaman because she doesn't think that my God has power. Because I haven't lived as though my God has power. People turn to shamans, they turn to Wiccan, they turn to all of this garbage because it offers power, because we're not living dunamis lives for Jesus Christ. God wants us to live as if we have the power of God in us, because we do. I just pray that we begin to live our lives as though we serve a living God. And that we do the things that Jesus did, that we do the things that the disciples did, so that people will see that our God has power. And as we plug into that power, we set our world on fire just as the disciples did. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, sometimes your messages hurt. And sometimes they're just such a joy to know that you care so much about us. Father, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you transform every life in this room. By your Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, that you begin to work your wonderful miracles as you did the days in the past. Lord, I pray that every heart in this room, that the walls come down, that there is a surrendering, that we are usable and that we are moldable as Peter was, as Paul was, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you begin to use this generation as you used the generations of days past. Lord God, I pray that not one perishes, Lord God, but that you get a hold of every single heart. Lord, I pray that we begin to live our lives as though you are coming back today. That you are the risen Lord. We don't serve a dead God. Lord God, I pray that your joy rises up in every single one of us, that we can't contain it, and that it spills out over to everybody that we come in contact with. Oh, Father, raise up in this generation. Call those to be speakers, to be pastors, Lord God, not to be educated, but to be Holy Spirit filled, sanctified, born again believers who turn this world on its ear. Yes, Lord God, I pray that you have your way. Have your way in this servant and have your way in those servants, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that you confirm your word in all of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to bring this word today to these people whom you love so much. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I do pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are still traveling and going to and fro, that you protect them and bring them back to us, Lord God, safely. Bring our pastor home safe, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you. I give you all of my honor. All the praise, all the glory be yours today. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.